Hare Krishna. I was thinking yesterday, when was the first time that I actually, myself personally, came here to Govardhan? And it was in 1974, when Srila Prabhupada held the first Mayapur festival in Mayapur, and then he invited the devotees to come here to Vrindavan. So we drove in a bus, and I don't know where we actually approached Giriraj, but all the way in the train coming to Vrindavan from Mayapur, I had been reading Krishna book. And so I had in my mind an imagined idea of what Vrindavan was going to be like. It was all based on all these wonderful pastimes of Krishna, and I was anticipating something quite, I would say, different than what I came and saw. So we drove, the bus drove up, and at the point we came to Giriraj, it was quite low and looked something like a wall, a stone wall. And I got out of the bus, and I looked at Giriraj, and I was a little horrified. I thought, this is Govardhan Hill? Because I had been hearing from all the Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, Govardhan, and I expected something very different. And because I was so new, it was my first visit to Vrindavan, I was a little bit ashamed of my initial response, and I didn't really want to say anything to anyone, lest they would be very critical of how I was seeing things. So I came back, but I remember that very clearly, that my first impression through my eyes, what I could see with my eyes, was not at all like what I was anticipating. However, living in Vrindavan, visiting Govardhan many times, over a period of time, I discovered that when I would look at Giriraj, I never felt like that again. I never had such a acutely, painfully mundane kind of a response to Giriraj as in that very first visit to his side. But then I was also thinking how it's quite natural when you meet someone for the first time, you come, say you meet some lady or some gentleman, you don't really know very much about them. They might be quite attractive to look at, or they may not be attractive. So you may look with your eyes and you can gain some impression, oh, they look like this. But really you can't know anything unless somebody introduces you, and the introduction will always come through hearing about them. So hearing about Giriraj also is the way that I have learnt to see Giriraj in a different way. And so I wanted to share with you some of the descriptions given by the acharyas who have transcendental eyes. They don't see what we see. At the present time, the way we see the Dham at this present moment, this is called the stage of Drishyaman, or what you can actually see with your eyes. You can perceive it with your senses. When Krishna is present here in his Prakat Leela, then the Dham becomes surcharged with all beauty for Krishna's pastimes. But when Krishna is not physically present, what we see with our eyes is not actually what the Dham really looks like. It's what our eyes can see. But it's as if there is a veil. And as we spoke of in Varshana, that veil is a little transparent. It's made of some lace or some very soft chiffon material. And so you can make out something of the mysterious nature of Giriraj even with your eyes, even with on this Drishyaman stage. But if you want to go really, really, really close to Giriraj, then you have to hear from those whose eyes are open to see beyond that veil. It is as if that veil is not even there for them. And when we hear from them, then we're extremely fortunate. So here is something written by one such exalted soul. An exquisite line of mountains called Govardhan stretches down the middle of Vrindavan. Giriraj has thousands of peaks and many small hills surrounding them, with jeweled plateaus and lakes like Radhakund to provide additional beauty. Giriraj looks like a romantic hero decorated with many jeweled bracelets and earrings. Govardhan is famous as the best of mountains and holds many difficult-to-enter caves illuminated by jeweled ornaments, as well as long lines of forests to provide places of play for the cowherd boys and gopis. Waterfalls caress all sides of Govardhan, and great banyan trees spread their branches to distribute joy to everyone. It is Govardhan's nature to be very kind and gentle. Made of inconceivably precious jewels that emanate divine fragrance, the trees and the land of Govardhan sparkle. The crystal rocks reflect the blue rays of its sapphires and appear like Lord Balaram dressed in blue cloth. The emeralds reflect on the golden rocks, like Lord Ram in his golden dhoti. The yellow sapphire platforms standing on beds of diamonds are like Lord Shiva and Gauri, and the ruby platforms on silver bases appear like Brahma mounted on his swan. The clear waterfalls rapidly falling from the tall peaks of Govardhan carry the reflections of many multicolored jewels and appear just like long rainbows. The light coming from the various stones and jewels on the plateaus reflect up into the sky like a rainbow. The effulgence from the peaks of Vaidurya gems appears like the tail of a comet streaking over Govardhan. Govardhan offers many thrones made of cooling stones for the sitting places of Radha and Krishna. Its flat jewel-studded plateaus await to serve Krishna's rasa dance. Its wonderful caves are more enchanting than temples made of jewels. And for serving Krishna, there are many flower canopies that pour down fragrant pollen when shaken in the wind, and the dense, cool forests provide soothing relief from the hot sun. Animals like deers and tigers live here in peace and harmony. So this is the Giriraj that our eyes, sad to say for us, cannot see. We also know that Giriraj is extremely merciful to anyone and everyone who has the good fortune to come here. Just like the young children, or ourselves, or Krishna with his pastime companions, Giriraj is always, always, always in the mood of a servant. Therefore, Giriraj is known as Haridasa Varja, because he is the best of all the servants of the Supreme Lord, because he takes away everybody's sins and miseries, and he also takes their hearts. From the touch of the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, he displays ecstasy, and the grass that grows on his body looks like the bodily hairs standing on end. The waterfalls, again invisible to our eyes, look just like Giriraj's tears. Govardhan worships Krishna and Balaram, the gopas, the gopis, cows and other animals, by giving them whatever gives them special pleasure. What a wonderful servant. Imagine if you were serving so many people and you were always meditating on what gives each one of these people special pleasure. How can I give this one some special pleasure? How can I arrange something that this one will be very happy about? This is how Giriraj, he is considered the topmost of all servants of Krishna, because he serves, not only does he serve Krishna and Balaram, or Radha and Krishna, but he serves the cows, he serves the cowherd boys, the animals, the bees, the birds, and also he serves persons like ourselves who are coming here to worship him, to bow down before him and offer him our written prayers of what we would like so that we can prosper and advance as devotees. He wants even to serve us. So Giriraj serves, I will read you some of the things that Giriraj gives. He gives water and grass to the animals. He gives honey, mango and sugarcane juice to the cowherd boys. He gives fruits and flowers and roots and vegetables for Krishna to eat. He has beds and seats made of jewels and mirrors or lamps which are also made from jewels in his decorated caves. He gives kumkum for the gopis to put on their forehead and on their part. He gives beautiful colored, fragrant colored powder minerals for the cowherd boys to decorate Krishna's face very beautifully. He gives musk, which is left by the deers who wander here and there on the top of Giriraj and leave the fragrant musk there. He creates natural camphor and uguru for the worship of Krishna. And he provides bees and cuckoos to sing very melodiously when Krishna appears, and birds to chirp and sing very sweetly. Thus, Giriraj is the best of Krishna's devotees because with loving devotion he serves Krishna, his friends, and the cows. And his jeweled stones, all the plateaus and the stones of Giriraj, when Krishna steps on them, they become as soft as butter. Nothing is hard or harsh about Giriraj. And also, in the cooler season, his rocks and stones are slightly warm, and in the hot season, they're very cooling to the touch. So there is one last quote. I would like to read you a verse from Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, who's speaking about Vrindavan, and he says, "In Vrindavan there are many millions of desire trees that easily maintain the inhabitants of Vrindavan like expert guardians. They are incomparably affectionate, and they personally protect the devotees. Therefore, who will not worship such a blissful abode of Vrindavan, where Govardhan Hill, whose stones are as soft bed, is present as the topmost devotee of Hari?" Thank you.
Mataji, might you answer the question that comes up at every retreat, because some of us haven't been at previous retreats, about how we're to see Giriraj? Is he Krishna? Is he a servant of Krishna? Is he neither? Is he both?
It can be said that Krishna certainly... Giriraj is Krishna, because we read in the Govardhan pastime in the Krishna book Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna, as Gopal, he appeared and manifest as a huge form, and he announced to the residents of Vrindavan that I am Govardhan Hill, we are the same. But at the same time, he can be seen also as the servant. And the example that comes to my mind is that of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is Krishna himself, but he prefers to be seen as a servant of Krishna. And all the devotees know that he's Krishna. In fact, they worship him and glorify him as Krishna. But he closes his ears and doesn't want to hear that. And one of the reasons he does that is his mood is that there is a great deal more satisfaction in being a servant of Krishna than being Krishna himself. He wants this mood. I want to serve Krishna. I want to serve the devotees of Krishna. So Giriraj is like that. You can worship him as Krishna and you can derive the benefit therefrom. You can also worship him as the servant of Krishna. And there is a great sweetness in that. Because as the servant of Krishna, he understands us much better. He understands that we're trying to serve Krishna, what it's like to be a servant. We can pray to him, "You are such a wonderful servant. I would like to serve Krishna as you're serving Krishna. So please give me your blessings." Just as somebody who knows a very saintly person, you want to meet them, but you feel a little nervous and shy and you don't know what to do. You find somebody who is serving them and you ask them, "Please, could you introduce me?" And if they say, "Yes, yes, come with me, I can introduce you." They have an affection because you're wanting to serve and they're already serving. So this is the mood that the devotees like very much about Giriraj. That he's a servant of Krishna, although it is certainly true that he is also Krishna himself. So I was thinking also what to present for the Govardhan retreat. I have a small section every day in the morning between 7:30 to 8. Quite a lot of people are unavailable at that time due to puja or japa and so on and so forth, but still it's a nice time for those who are free. So I was thinking, last year I spoke about...
Actually, we request all the devotees who attend that to make sure they get their japa done before 7.
Okay. But some people have puja, I know also. But I was speaking last year on the trees of Vrindavan and the year before on the birds of Vrindavan. So I was trying to think what subject to speak on this year. And then, around the same time as I was contemplating this serious question, I found a book by one of the six Goswamis, namely Sri Jiva Goswami, called Sri Madhav Mahotsav. And being artistic by nature means that you have a liking for the visual. Some people are very taken by what they can hear, other people by what they can see. So I like this book particularly because it's very visually attractive. Srila Jiva Goswami is writing an elaboration at the request of Srila Rupa Goswami of a section that describes the coronation, the Raj Abhishek, or the coronation of Srimati Radharani as the Queen of Vrindavan, Sri Vrindavan Ishwari. So I had often heard the arguments that would take place between Radha and Krishna when Krishna would come and he would chastise the gopis, and especially he would be very brash and he would say, "Why are you all here picking flowers in my kingdom?" And the gopis would say, "We are not picking flowers in your kingdom. This is not your kingdom. This is Srimati Radharani's kingdom." And he would say, "No, this is Vrinda. Vrindavan is Vrinda Devi's." And Srimati Radharani, they would say, "Oh yes, but Vrinda Devi gave this Vrindavan forest to Srimati Radharani. She is Vrindavan Ishwari." So we always like to say in our festivals, "Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavan Ishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye." So this very excellently composed poem, Srila Jiva Goswami calls it a poem, was offered at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa Goswami in 1555. At Srila Rupa Goswami's request, because in his poem, Dan Keli Komodi, where he describes an argument that took place between the gopis and Krishna and his friends, when Krishna tried to tax the gopis for their milk products when they were crossing at Dan Gati, as we know here in Vrindavan. And at that time, the gopis challenged him and said, "You know, actually, Srimati Radharani is the queen here," and he describes, Srirupa Goswami describes there this ceremony in only 4 or 5 verses. So he requested Sri Jiva Goswami to elaborate on this one little pastime, which he does very exquisitely. So I have read through this book. It's quite a challenge to present because it is quite detailed, But I was thinking there are 9 chapters. Perhaps we can present 2 chapters every morning in a summary form. And this way we can hear the beauty of this Raj Abhishek when Srimati Radharani becomes actually the queen of all of Vrindavan. Srimati Radharani ki jai.